Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long. So let's get into the show. Jackie Cation here with the guy I worked with in Colorado at the Comedy Works last week, Sam Adams. Your name is Samuel Adams. Do you prefer in conversation Samuel or Sam?
Sam.
Do you enjoy Sam? Okay.
Sam is what the teachers called me, except for my fourth grade teacher. She liked to stick the needle in me.
All right. And then here's my question is, what is your, like, when people want to come and see you do stand up, and it is very funny, very smart, very silly, all of my favorite things. Where should they, is there a SamuelAdams.com? I forgot to ask all of these questions.
There's a SamAdamsDoesComedy.com.
Oh, no, Sam Adams Does Comedy. There's probably a good idea because your name is Sam Adams.
Yeah.
Does comedy.com.
I should go to Samuel Adams Does Comedy just to see if there's some other guy.
Right. Right. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe that guy's doing comedy too. Yeah. What about Twitter and Instagram? Or do you have such a thing?
TikTok? I'm on Instagram. I'm not on TikTok or Twitter. I should probably jump on, but I'm at Sam Adams Does Comedy.
Okay. It's all the same. So that's good. Yeah. The consistency, they say, in social media is the way to go.
I can't remember. That's why.
Right. Just go with one and done. It's so Sam, you're going to be at, we're on the Dork Forest. We're talking. People are listening. Hello, Rangers of the Dork Forest. You enjoy, it's a band, and it's a band. I know this band, but I don't know enough about this band to say, oh, there's this band. So it's Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yes. Just the mention of the name.
Okay.
I'm serious. And, just, yeah. Anybody says it, I just, yeah.
Okay. So that all I remember, so I had Allie Willis on, who wrote a couple of their songs, and she is from Detroit, and they are from Chicago, maybe?
Yes, the leader of the band, the late Maurice White, out of Chicago, his brother, who's still playing bass for Dean, out of Chicago, and then they just started recruiting from around the country, including Denver. And
okay.
We'll get into that. They've got Denver ties.
Okay. And so the Earth, Wind, and Fire is a rock band. This much we know, right?
Well, I would say more like R&B.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me what kind of band, what this is. I know September. That's the song. That's the only one I can think of right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, I go back. I'm 62.
Okay.
And a half. You know, when we get older, you count the halves.
Right. It's just like when you were five. I'm a five and a half, and now you're 62 and a half.
62 and a half. But for me, Earth, Wind, and Fire came into focus when I was 13, so 1973.
Okay.
I started playing music a couple of years earlier, and we talked about this in the green room. You know, I played trumpet.
Right.
And hearing bands that had horns started to appeal to me.
Right. Because that was a big thing in the 60s and 70s. They all had horn sections.
Yeah. You know, James Brown had his horn section and they accented his sound. So the horns would be blaring while James Brown was stepping and all. So it hooked you. And but then Earth, Wind & Fire, when they hit the scene, it was really their vocals. It was a song called Head to the Sky, and they had these high voices. Philip Bailey, the lead singer, who's still with them. He's from Denver. And it's vocals that caught the attention. But then in 1974, a buddy of mine, his name is Ralph, he played drums, and he saw me walking down the street, saw me walking down 114th Street in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And I had my trumpet case with me, and he's in his room up in the attic. And I hear this voice go, "Hey man, what's in that case?" That's how he sounded back then.
Right.
And I was like, "Who's that old man is talking to me?" You know?
Right.
And I go, "It's a trumpet." That's how I sounded, you know? And he comes down the stairs, and we start. That's how we became best friends.
Right.
Just talking about music. And I would go to his house, and he put on records and 45s. And the first 45 that we listened to that had us both jamming at the same time was a song called Mighty Mighty by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Okay. And what album? Is that an early album? Too,
It's Open Our Eyes.
Oh, a cassette. If you're watching this on YouTube, you really, it's very exciting.
Oh, I got cassettes. I got CDs. This is great. But it had this bouncy funk beat and their vocals. Earth, Wind & Fire is a band, Jackie, that you listen to half of their songs and you don't know what they're saying. And it's not that they're not enunciating. You just make up words.
Okay.
Your own words, you know.
Right. For example, I don't know the song. Is September about September?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you remember the 21st night?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It is about September, but it isn't about September. It's just set in September.
Yeah, but by the time they get into it, they're saying, "Body, yeah." And you're like, "Body, body, yeah.
Body, yeah." What are they saying?
Yeah, that's what they're actually saying. Body, yeah. Say that you remember. And body eye is just code for, "We don't know what to put right in here."
Okay.
It's like when you're thinking of a song, like if you're a songwriter, I suppose they do this, and you're kind of like, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Just a funk, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And it becomes the word. And they got songs where they just go, "Ba ba ba ya, ba 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 ya, ba ya ba, ba ba da la ya," and you're like, "What the hell are you singing?"
Right. So they're enjoying the music more than the lyrics.
And you just roll with it. So
yeah.
So back to Mighty Mighty was just a song, and Ralph and I, we just got into it so tough. It was like, man, I wish we could play that.
Yep. Yeah, I bet.
And that became the mantra for our band. We wound up having a street band.
Okay.
Ralph is 2 years older than me. So okay. I'm playing with these guys. I'm 14 and these guys are 16, 17. We had a couple of...
they knew everything. There's nothing like a 16, 17 year old guy to really know all the things. Have you ever been boy-splained by a young man child about 16 or 17? No, because that guy knows everything. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, and I'm leaning on them to tell me.
Exactly, because you're 14.
I have no brothers, so these guys become my brothers, you know.
Yes. So
we started playing in bars. In nightclubs around Cleveland, they used to have to take a crayon, a black crayon, and darken in my peach fuzz.
Right, to pass for 18.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But what we found out right away was, don't try to cover Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Really?
Yeah. Because we could cover Kool and the Gang, and we could cover, you know, some of the funk bands from back then, Casey and the Sunshine Band. But if you were going to do Earth, Wind, and Fire, you better sound like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, you had to stick the landing because otherwise people would get mad?
Yeah. You know, because their sound was so original that people wanted to hear it, not your version. They wanted to hear it. If you didn't sound like them, you would get booed.
So here's my question. Has anyone covered Earth, Wind, and Fire? Are there bands?
I hear bands that cover like September. That's a popular cover song.
Yeah.
Shining Star,
right,
which became their big hit that kind of crossed them over on the That's the Way of the World album.
Okay.
Which came after the one that I just showed you, Open Our Eyes.
Okay.
That's when Earth, Wind & Fire really started to catch the ear of America, and
right,
not just Black America. It was like now they're playing them on, you know, pop.
Right, KQ or whatever. Yeah.
That was just R&B. They became R&B pop stars, and they shot up to number one with Shining. So you're a shining star, no matter who you are, shining
bright. Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah.
You can truly be. And bands cover it, but they don't know how to play it in the tempo. So it comes out real, it comes out real fast. So for me, a former musician, when I hear them, I'm just like, y'all should play something else.
Right, right, right.
You really should.
Sam, I'm going to say that something keeps crackling on your headphones or something. So do me a favor, unplug your headphones, because I don't know if you're using a mic. I think you're just shouting into your laptop, which I am entirely in favor of.
Okay.
Oh, you played it through your shirt like a pro.
You know what? I didn't want people to know that I don't have wireless.
Well,
that was the best I could do.
Right. Dork Forest. Wow. Safe space, my friend. To be a Luddite would be actually somebody else's dorkdom.
I told you it was the first time.
Yeah. This is your first ever podcast. And
I'm actually on an old CRT. Even on a laptop.
What is a CRT?
Old office computers.
At an office computer. Okay. I was like, are you using a webcam that's attached to the top of your monitor?
Nah, man, this is a laptop.
Okay, fair enough. I was just like,
I have a mood ring, or whatever you call it.
I felt
almost in the 21st century.
Okay, you are indeed 21st century. By the way, I am talking with Sam Adams, and I don't know if you know this. Sam Adams does comedy.com at Sam Adams comedy does comedy, and find him, Denver comic, very funny. And so. Those are the, like, are there any other, you know how like Dolly Parton wrote songs and then Whitney Houston covered it and it became bigger. Is there anything like that with Earth, Wind & Fire, or did Earth, Wind & Fire blow themselves up? Like they were the big deal their songs.
Yeah. Earth, Wind & Fire blew themselves up. After that, That's the Way of the World album.
Yeah.
You know, the anticipation for what was coming next. And Jackie, what made them, intriguing as they started to cross over. And I've read and heard the founder, Maurice White, and some talk about how they wanted to separate themselves from the other bands. And he referred to the other bands as drill teams, not in a demeaning way, but you would go and see them and they all had the same choreographed steps. Like if you watched
69
everybody 60s. Did the same move and and they wanted to separate themselves. So they were coming up with like stage presentations that were, you know, very imaginative. They had pyramids in the background because pyramids is strong in the formation of Earth, Wind, and Fire. That you know.
Oh, right, right. Why are they named Earth, Wind, and Fire? Besides, it's the coolest name ever.
It's the coolest name ever. That's why when you said it, I was like, yeah, like the dream is to introduce Earth, Wind, and Fire, so you could say presenting Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know,
right? And that wasn't anybody's name. Like nobody is Joe Fire and Larry Wind.
We're talking to Sam Earth right now.
So, right.
My buddy Ralph Wind and I, we was listening. I don't want to come off like so knowledgeable that I know the history. So I don't want to mess it up. But the founder, again, Maurice White, had a strong tie to reading about Egyptian pyramids and those type of things. And if you go back and like Google the history of them, you'll see photos that he took, like he visited.
So he took some of his cash and he's like, I'm going to Egypt. I have always wanted to go to Egypt.
He was infatuated by it. And so they're known as the Elements of the Universe.
Right.
And it goes back to him saying, I want our name to be something, you know, that has something to do with the elements of the universe. And they came up with Earth, Wind, and Fire, which I guess is better than Hurricane.
Right. It was just like a natural disaster, as the name of a band, a different kind of music. natural disaster. That's more punk.
Well, once everybody caught on to it, and I mean everybody in terms of the crossover, you know, you liked the sound and you wondered what was coming next. But for the band, it was, yeah, they like our sound, but when they come to see us, what kind of show? Not just the music.
Right. Oh, they wanted the whole picture.
They wanted, you know, they 1 year they came and they had a stage presentation that was choreographed by an illusionist, Doug Henning.
Oh, my gosh.
So he would make members of the band during points of the show disappear. The bass.
Okay, that's awesome.
And yeah, so you, like if you were sitting up close, you know, and then they would have video screens. So, you know, if you're sitting way up, you know, at the top of the Coliseum or wherever, you got to see it. But like their imagination went beyond just the sound of the music.
It was right, because the songs themselves are super catchy and really fun. And the way their vocals and that and their musicianship is elaborate, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But when they showed up, because I do remember like a lot of the bands, like the group bands, not the Beatles, because they were also trying to do their own thing, but like group bands who'd be on Ed Sullivan and they were choreographed. They'd be like, there'd be like a kick and a slide and you know, we're all doing this. And they're like, we're blowing it up. We're just going to do. And so if they have, are they more rock band in the way that they're kind of jumping around? But if there's a horn, how many people are in this band?
Well, you know, I remember seeing them one time and thinking, is it like 27 people? You know, but in reality, three horns, a lead and a rhythm guitar. So we got five. The lead singer is also a percussionist.
Okay.
They actually have two singers. One is Philip Bailey Jr.
Oh, nice.
You know, one of the originals now has a son.
Now it's a dynasty.
So it's about 10 or 11 piece band right now.
Okay. Yeah. So it's almost, do you ever see Ozo Motley? I was like, how do they split the check? Because, you know, with stand up, you get one check and you get to keep it. With a band, if there's eight people in this band, you better be successful. Yeah.
You should just come out, Jackie, next time you're out, just come out with three background comics.
I think Todd Glass does that, but I don't know what he pays them. But it does sound.
We'll just do a little step up to the mic, and go back. You know,
right? Would you prefer this if a white guy said this in a hoodie? And here, he's going to take the applause break for me. And
we have Jackie and the Humorist, you know, or some weird name.
Right. So 10 people, and any women in the band or no?
One time they had a female singer included. She didn't sing lead.
Right.
Who was, you know, they
just harmony kind of
their vocals. And here was the other thing when I talked about you didn't dare try to duplicate them. You know, I was really infatuated and still am by the sound of the horns and the funk that come with a lot of their music.
Right. But there's bass and there's horns and that is a cool beat.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, this is moving. You're just, you know, constantly going, but their ballads are legendary. You talked about Ailey Willis and some of the songs that she wrote. I mean, After the Love Is Gone, Reasons, which
okay.
is the first ballad that really set them out there. And if you tried to sing Reasons, and we were young enough back then that like our band would enter talent shows.
Yeah.
There would be some group that had some dude that could sing real high because Philip Bailey has an opera-ish octave.
Okay.
Voice, so he sings real high. And if you tried to sing Reasons, you know, like right now, if I go, Reasons, my neighbor will be like, shut up, you know. And they don't even know the rest of the song. But if you tried to sing that song, the audience would just be like, no. But the background to a song like that had high, you know.
Yeah, there's harmonies. Yeah.
We needed a woman to.
What was her name?
I'd have to look and see.
Yeah. Because it's been 50 years.
Hold on, let me look.
How are that's all their albums or many of them?
This is many of them.
Okay.
This is some of them that I don't have in cassette.
Okay. Do you still have a cassette player? I assume you do.
I do. I have a baby boom box.
Oh, very nice. Because there you go. It's of the age. You might as well have the boom box. Keep the boom box.
I can't recall her name. And she might have been married to one of the guys in the band.
Sure, sure. It's because is that where they got their talent? Like, did it start out with an initial, like the Philip Bailey? Is that what's his name?
Well, it started Maurice. Now, Maurice White was a drummer for a pianist named Ramsey Lewis.
Okay.
Ramsey Lewis is a very well-known jazz pianist.
Okay.
His big hit back in the 60s was "I'm in with the in crowd." Those were the words, but he played it, you know.
Okay.
And Maurice was the drummer, but Maurice always had another thought. As far as Maurice had R&B.
Everyone I've ever met that's in a band is also in like three other bands. And you're like, I don't know if it's like keeping irons in the fire or if they're just musicians and they need to play all the time.
Yeah.
And they like to play different stuff. So,
yeah. Well, you know, it's like, you could be an opera singer, but you like
choir. Yeah. You sing at the church.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of church singers who end up doing R&B or whatever.
Right. You know, they still sing at church, it turns out. You know? Right.
But Maurice went out and started his own band, his brother, Verdine. The Dean Areno, they call him the energy of the band.
Okay. You have to know that Sam Adams is showing me pictures of himself with members of Earth, Wind, and Fire. I take it you've seen them live.
Which ticket stub would you like to see?
and have you ever seen them in how did you get to meet them? Did you meet them in a small enough venue that you were like,
I'm going to take you through this.
Oh, we're 30 minutes in, my friend.
I'll try to be fast.
Yeah.
We can talk about, but the first time I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire was 1976, August of 1976. I got my first car like a month before. So, and I think I told you in the email, I've had some really tough moments.
Right. You know, you've tried to use Earth, Wind, and Fire to forward relationships I think your email said.
But the first time didn't work. I'll just say that. I go to the concert with a young lady that lived around the corner from me who apparently was a lot faster than her age. Okay. And we're both teenagers. Okay.
Right.
I'm 16
okay.
And so I'm driving my 1972 blue Ford Maverick. Just got it.
Congratulations. Yes. It's
4 years old, you know.
Sure.
And so I'm driving it, and Richfield Coliseum, they call it the Cleveland Coliseum, but it's Richfield. It's like 40 miles away from Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
This is my first long drive in my car and my first concert.
Mm-hmm.
All at the same time.
So wow.
We get out of the car and we go in, we have a great time. We're sitting up at the top, but we heard the music. It was great.
Yeah.
We leave along with 17,000 people.
Right. And
after leaving the building, I realized I never paid attention to where I parked. Never.
Oh, no. Oh, right. Right. Because you're 16.
Yeah. So we are walking around the building.
Yeah, this is going to be the end of a very bad day.
And I swear, after the first rotation around, and now, you know, she's kind of like, some dude walks up. He looks like Huggy Bear on
Starsky and Hutch.
Antonio Fargas, I think is his name. But some tall dude in an all green suit with a pimp hat.
An amazing, amazing outfit. But
feather coming out of it.
And he's 30.
He's at least. And he goes to her, "Hey, baby, what you doing here?" And she calls him by name. And she says, "Well, I was with him, but he can't find his car." And he goes, "Yeah, well, come on, I'm gonna take you home." And I'm like,
"What just happened?"
Yeah. And they go off.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so glad she knew him, because
he never acknowledges me. He's got on heels that are like this, you know, back in the 70s. Like,
right.
You know, he's just a grown.
He's a grown man. Yeah, you can swear, but yeah, he is definitely a grown man.
That's man, and I'm literally a teenage boy, and I'm looking up and like what? And I keep walking around.
Right. Look, if you got to find your car now.
Well, the parking lot thins out. This isn't a, hey, let me call somebody, you know.
76.
You know, yeah. I just.
40 like, miles away.
Thin out.
Yep.
And then there's my car sitting there like one of those old Sears commercials about the battery where there's one car in a parking lot. I believe it's in one of the Otis, South Dakota, North, maybe Minnesota, but it's like 58 degrees below zero. And then they show you that the car will still start and it's in a parking lot by itself. There's my car just there. And I drove home in silence.
Well, yeah, you were like, I guess I will not be putting in.
I never in life have seen that girl again.
No, here's what I needed to. I need to know that she lived because she got into a car with Huggy Bear.
Got in a car with Huggy Bear.
Sam, you got to do me a favor. I mean, granted, she knew him, but holy smokosaurus Rex, you got to go on Facebook after this and just go. Okay, she's three kids. She's fine. Yeah. She works at the bank.
This if is you Whitey. Want to see her wind and fire with me and left with Huggy Bear, please friend me.
Please friend me. Remember when I was 16 and I didn't mark where, and you didn't remember either because you were also a child. And then a grown up adult man came over and said, I'll drive you home 40 miles from here. And you got in the car, just hoping that you lived.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You got to be alive. I don't care about
please.
Him.
No, he's died of old age. He was probably 50. You know,
it would be funny if she sent me a picture of her and her adult kid.
Right. Maybe she's like Dane Cook, where she ended up marrying him when he was 50 and she was 23. Anyway,
what was the first one? The next concert, the very second time I go to see Earth, Wind & Fire, the next
what year is it?
Cleveland. It's January of 1978. I'm in my freshman year at Kent State. Okay. Kent State, Kent, Ohio, is like 15 miles from Richfield Coliseum, where they came back to.
Okay, closer.
The concert was supposed to be in January of that year, but we had a big snowstorm the day of the concert, so they postponed it until February.
Okay.
And I'm in my dorm. I've got two tickets, and I don't have anybody to go with. And I'm kind of embarrassed because it's down to, like, I'm getting ready to leave.
Right. Dorm. And then, and there is a certain point where you feel, can I go to, like, now I would go to a concert alone.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I might enjoy it more because then I could leave after I see the nine songs I want to see.
Yeah.
And then
for me, the big thing was enjoy the concert. Remember where your freaking car is.
That's it. I was going to ask. Okay.
So I'm getting ready to walk out the dorm and I see this young lady sitting in our lobby and I know her. Her name is Pam. Okay. We called her Pammy. And the reason why I knew her is because she was dating one of the guys in my dorm that I actually went to high school with, a guy named Michael. So I was like, Pammy, why are you sitting down here? And she was like, well, I thought I was going to see Earth, Wind & Fire, but he said he couldn't go. And I was like, oh, well, I got an extra ticket. And she was like, do you? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, come on, we're going to be late. We get in the car, we drive, we park. I look up to see where I'm supposed to, you know, they have.
Right. Make a note.
Seven. I'm like, okay, remember C7. We get in there and I see my uncle and aunt who are like the nicest, calmest, like the last people I thought I'd ever see at a concert for Earth, Wind & Fire. And they're all dressed. My uncle's got this leather. My uncle was lit. He was
on fire.
Hey, yes. Look at you. Look who that is. He got a girl with him. He ain't never got a girl. Look at him. He got a girl. You know, they're all, you know, kind of embarrassing me, you know. What I found out, Jackie, was so Pammy and Michael, they were dating, but Michael went to the show with some other girl, and Pammy wanted to see who it was. And here I was, just the right person to come along to give her a chance to go to that show. And she was looking for him. She didn't care about Earth, Wind & Fire. She was looking.
I like that your first go-to. She didn't care about she didn't care about you. She didn't care about Earth, Wind & Fire. Yeah, I wasted a ticket on someone who didn't care about Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah, I knew she didn't care about me. It was like,
come on.
She just made me look good in front of my aunt and uncle. I was trying to find Michael.
Right.
And they ended up confrontation
at the concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, do not ruin this concert for me. I have come to see
Huggy Bear when I need him. Why don't he come up? I don't want to go home with her now. You know, like I,
right. And I'm sure the drive home with her was not in silence.
I
got
to explain to Michael why I took her. You know, like, you know.
Right.
So I thought, okay, never go to an Earth, Wind & Fire concert with anyone.
Never introduce a third.
Well, the next time I saw them was years later here in Denver, 97, the Sinbad Soul Music Festival at Fiddler's Green. And I went by myself.
Okay. I had a
great time. And then
you had the time of your life because you could did you get better tickets? Because if you could buy one ticket,
you get really good seats. It was actually a comp ticket. And I was in row T.
That's not bad. That's ground floor row T.
Yeah, like 20 rows back, considering I'd always been up at the top. So I'm moving my way down.
Uh-huh.
I go to see him again in 98. I go to see him again in 2001 with Chaka Khan. I go see him again in 2002 with some special guests. I don't know who. Then I saw him with Chicago.
Okay.
And so all those horns and, it was just an amazing
Even more
show.
Horns, yeah.
But here's the other one, 2000 at Red Rocks Amphitheater, which holds 9,500 people, almost 2. I finally found somebody that I wanted to go to the show with, and I finally found the best. I was in row 5.
Wow.
It's going to be the greatest night. I'm with this young lady, that I really liked, and I thought, this is going to be great. We get there. The opening act finishes up. Everybody's sitting around waiting, anticipating. Now we're like, okay, this is a little long for a wait.
Yeah.
Then after about 45 minutes, Philip Bailey comes on stage and everybody's like cheering. Yeah, here we go. And Philip says, I'm sorry to tell you that we cannot perform tonight because our soundboard melted. It was so hot today that the soundboard melted. But we promise we will come back later in the year. This was August of 2000. So I'm thinking, okay, I look at her. I was like, okay, babe, we'll just come back whenever they come back. Me and you, right? Now I know I got a future date with her.
Right.
Well, I was a sports writer at the time, writing for a newspaper in town, the Rocky Mountain News.
Stand-up comics have had all the jobs, you guys.
Yes. Okay. I think I had only done stand-up like twice in my life at that point.
Okay.
They call me in the office. The editor calls me in the office and says, hey, we're going to have to send you to Sydney, Australia to cover the Olympics. We need you to cover track. The guy who was covering track bailed.
Right.
I wasn't a part of the original Olympic plan.
Right. But a free trip to Sydney, Australia.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm covering the most glamorous sport
thing. Yeah.
I had to rush to get a passport. I didn't have a passport. Get all this stuff done in a very short window, like 3 hours to get my credential. And now I'm happy. I'm going to Sydney, Australia to cover the Olympics 3 weeks, like you said, free, all this stuff. It's great. I'm driving home. Turn on the radio. And the guy's on the radio saying, the Earth, Wind & Fire concert that was originally scheduled for August, whatever date, has now been rescheduled for September 5th. Oh. And I'm just like, yeah, September, wait, whoa. I'm going to be in
Sydney, Australia.
No. Now the girl is calling me. Can I have the tickets? And I was like, no, you can't have the tickets. What are you going to do? Take some other dude? No, you can't. So I ended up missing them because
you went to Sydney, Australia, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I love a band. Sydney, Australia, kind of a once in a lifetime, 3 weeks for free. Earth, Wind & Fire, I see you also went to see them in 2002. So,
but I'm just saying.
But not row five, maybe, and not with that woman.
How far I went after that.
Okay.
I got back to the States. My editor said, hey, man, I'm going to give you a week off. You did an incredible job. And I'm not bragging, but I did an incredible job. I did. And I said, no, I'll take that week off at the end of the year if you don't mind. And he said, yeah. And I found out Earth, Wind & Fire was playing in Las Vegas, and I got in touch with their manager, and he left me a ticket to see them at the House of Blues in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's That's where the meet and greet happened.
Well,
that's
no, where he didn't leave me a meet and greet there.
Okay. But you initiated contact now. Yeah. Now you know the manager. Yeah.
Now I know, you know, I know who to call.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I didn't abuse that privilege. But
anytime
they would come to town, I was going to see them. But I always bought a ticket. I'm gonna try to tie this up.
Do it respectfully. You get a nice bonus, right?
Yeah. But I wouldn't call him. I would just, you know, and I would always go by myself. I would go to see these shows by myself. Mm-hmm. But in 2014, I'm at Comedy Works South.
Okay.
I headlined a show. And after the show, this guy walks up to me and he says, "Hey, man, I really enjoyed your show. My name is Ralph. I'm with Earth, Wind, and Fire." And I was like, "I don't recognize you."
You know, you're like, I don't think you understand how big of an Earth, Wind, and Fire fan I am. I've never heard of a
band to say you're with. You know, you should have told me you was with somebody else.
Anything else.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. I know those guys. I know what they look. I know what the keyboard player looks like. I know what the trumpet player looks like. What do you play? Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Well, no, I actually do a lot of, you know, work with them. Like when they travel, I arrange, you know
right. Oh, he's like a tour manager kind of guy. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so I was like, "Okay, I'm going to investigate." But we exchanged numbers. And I said, "So if I want to see the band, like any place, I could call you." And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "So if I want to see them in California," he's like, "Yeah." So we exchanged numbers. And I was dating somebody at the time. This was April. So in May, I called them up and said, "Hey, the band's playing in Vegas. I want to surprise my girl with a, I want to come to Vegas and I want to take her to see the show." Dude gave me two tickets and left, you know, backstage.
Backstage.
I had no idea that we were going to Vegas, let alone see Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Right.
And that's where it started. Now, whenever I go, I only go see him out of town. I don't even like to see him in Denver.
Because it's too big. And if you could see him in Vegas at the House of Blues, that's, what is that, 1,000 people, 1,200 people?
Yeah. And there was somebody sitting in my seat that night too in Vegas. And I was just like, "That's my seat.
That's my seat."
She was like, "But I can't see from my seat." And I'm like, "Well, then you need to talk to the manager."
Yeah, there you go.
You just don't take my seat, you know. Yeah. But I've just been fortunate to just, you know, pretty much since 2014. And they always sound good. They just always sound good.
And has the band changed much? Like because it's been 50 years, there must be new members and they're swapping people out all the time. And it's somebody's kid is now in it. You know, I mean, this is generational.
They've got, okay, well, the main three
are,
this is Philip. I'll show you.
Okay.
That's Philip Bailey there. And that's the Ralph that I told you about.
Oh, nice.
You know, and I can never post this picture unless he's in it. Like sometimes I want to crop him out.
And, yeah, yeah.
You're Philip Bailey. And he'll see it. He's on all the social media platforms. So,
And then all of a sudden, Ralph is like, "Pretty sure I'm also standing next to you. Is that are we not friends?"
That's my Earth, Wind, and Fire coat. But Ralph Johnson, Philip Bailey, and Verdeen are the three remaining originals. And they've been for over 50 years. They've got a lead guitar player, Morris O'Connor, who's been with them for over 20 years.
Okay.
All their horns have been with them now for over 20 years.
Right.
David Whitworth, one of the singers and percussionists, has been there for about 15 or 20 years.
Okay.
Where they get a little bit of frequency change is, and their drummer, John Paris, he's been with them over 20 years.
Okay.
But their rhythm guitar player seems to change more often than not. I think
a little more turnover in the rhythm guitar.
Okay. Yeah, I think Serge, who's with them now, he's a Russian. I can't pronounce his last name, but he's been with them for about 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
And then Philip Bailey's son, Philip Jr., has been with them for about 6 or 7 years.
Right.
So
he had to finish school.
Yeah. Yeah. he had to repeat Latin, and once he
Oh, right, right. As soon as I graduated from, yes. You're and in. So now I have, you're going to make me a sort of five. You sent me five. I usually ask for anything less than eight. It was like eight songs of a band. And you sent me a playlist, right?
Yeah.
Of five of your favorite songs.
Well, I sent just like, I think it ended up being like 17. It was in a pack.
Oh, fair enough. Well, that's tricky of you.
That, once you hear one or two, you want to hear more.
That is the implication that I've been told. Last week's episode was about the trombone, and I asked, I think it's Antonio, to send me eight songs. One of the songs he sent me was a symphony that was an hour and 20 minutes. And I was like, hey, man, I just want to hear the good trombone part. And it was cool. So, but I will. Okay. Well, I will post that playlist. And so I have heard of some of these songs, but I can't wait to, are they all like Shining Star, Serpentine Fire?
Yeah.
Jupiter, Mighty.
Yeah.
And Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. I purposely did not include, the ballads, you know, After the Love Is Gone.
Because you don't like roller skating backwards? Why? What? Why? Why is it?
When I think of Earth, Wind, and Fire, I always think of, you know, the upbeat.
The funk and the, and yeah, okay.
I love the ballads. Don't get me wrong. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
My son might be on this earth because of one of those ballads, but that's another story.
Do you ever tear up? Because those, remember that Here I Go Again from Whitesnake?
Yeah.
And I always sing it in sort of a crying whine because I'm just like, we're going to make some money. Here I go again.
You know, the one song that, like, and I've seen them so many times, but right. The one song that really, kind of pushes a button for me is That's the Way of the World. And that's the title track to the album that really surged Earth, Wind, and Fire into prominence.
Okay.
You know, and I don't have that one down there, but that, I include that as a ballad, more or less. It's a slow song, but it's a song with meaning. You know, they're you know, just basically trying to say that, you know, no matter how bad the past was, the present and the future could be better if there's love, you know?
Right, right. And that's very beautiful. That's, and
that one, you know, they call that song their national anthem. That, you know, like when you go to see them at a concert, they'll say time for the national anthem and everybody knows what song is coming, you know?
And do they play that song, on the encore? Cause you know, the encore is usually like their.
No, they play it during the middle. That's the thing about Earth, Wind, and Fire. They play all their hits.
They don't have any problem. They're just like, I am going to play Piano Man.
Encore, you're like, you know, when they finish and you know they're coming out for an encore, you literally have to stand there and go, okay, they played this. Like, what did they leave? Because, right. You know, it feels like they played everything because they'll do a 75 to 90 minute set.
And there's not a lot of banter. They're just like, we're just going to rock and just play.
And they don't play like the whole song for every song.
Okay.
The transition into not for me as the former musician and the guy that has seen them so many times, I'm always curious, you know, how are they going to do this song this time? And being fortunate enough to get backstage and have conversations.
Yeah.
Some of those guys, I was telling one of the comedians here in Denver about this a couple of weeks ago. Her name is Georgia Comstock. I don't know if you've worked with Georgia.
Georgia Comstock has the greatest joke about having red hair that I've ever. Yeah,
that's right.
That's OK.
Well, Georgia was we were talking and I was telling her how I love talking to musicians about how they perform the same song over and over and over and over again. Like, don't you get tired of it? You know?
Right. Right.
I was like, don't y'all get tired of doing Shining Star? I mean, I would just be sick of that song, you know? The drummer, and now, you know, just the singer Ralph, he says, man, what we do is we change how we perform it so many different times. So it never sounds the same.
Okay.
how we do it. And I apply that to comedy. Like, yeah, you know, you got a couple bits that are like your
signature bit. You got to do them.
And after a while, you just kind of walk out there and it's like, right. How do I find a way to make it fun for me to actually do it? So that's what he was saying. They do it in a way that makes it fun for them.
But it's still recognizable as the song, right?
Yeah. Okay. You know, sometimes they might play it in a more up tempo. Sometimes they might slow it down.
The
horns will take some horn riffs from another song and just kind of throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm, like I said, being a horn guy, I'll hear it and I'm like, oh man, they just took that one from, I know where that, you know, but with the audience in general, they don't know.
Yeah.
Detailed. I'm like, okay. Oh, wow.
Are there people that you run into at the shows that are other fans that you're like, oh, there's that woman who comes every time?
No.
You have not recognized?
That's why I like going out of town, because I figure I'm not going to see anybody I know.
Right. Your aunt and uncle are not going to show up.
I saw them in Memphis back in 2019. I had a gig outside of Nashville the next night, and they were in Memphis. So I called up and went, and I wound up sitting next to the family of Verdeen White, the bass player.
Oh, fun.
It was really weird because he's got a sister that, like, dead ringer. I was like, this the whole night, you know. And then I
right
after the show, we're backstage and I'm like, oh man.
Were they nice about him?
Oh yeah.
That's great.
We were singing along and they were looking at me like, they got this. They don't need you.
Come on. That's why I go to see the band. I want to sing along. And I open for Brian Regan sometimes. And one of his sisters, the first time I met her, she was like, so you're going up too? And I said, yeah. She said, good, because we're going to need some good comedy. And I look at Brian Regan and I'm like, so this happens at Brian Regan levels? And he goes, it's my sister. What are you going to do? And so... He's like, oh yes, it happens. And I had a pertinent earth, wind, and fire. Oh, I know. Like, if people wanted, I got two remaining questions, and we only had like 10 minutes. But they're big questions. If people wanted to watch documentaries or listen to interviews, do you have favorite interviews and documentaries that you can remember, or should they just Google it?
Well, there's actually one that the band did.
They did themselves.
Yeah, I think it's called Shining Star.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think Google, if you Google Earth, Wind, and Fire and documentaries, it's going to come up. But and I think there's a book by the same title. But I mean, the band, the founder, Maurice White, did one. He was included in one. So you're getting
okay.
Authentic word from he had Parkinson's and he passed away about 4 or 5 years ago, I think.
Okay.
But he was able to articulate quite well during the documentary and gives a history that, you know, way better than I would ever be able to.
Right. So, but if people do like the idea of sort of the personalities of the band and want to know kind of more anecdotes,
the inspiration of the pyramids and, how they crossed over, because, you know, they had just been a regular R&B band.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the whole country and then countries caught up to them. And now all of a sudden they got to, you know, keep it going. And everybody wanted, it seemed, in the music business, wanted a piece of their sound or wanted to contribute to them, write for them. David Foster, the great music writer, wrote After the Love Is Gone with a guy still plays for Chicago, Bill Champlin. You know, people were writing songs for them. They had their own little offshoots. There's a singing group called The Emotions. If you ever listen to the song Boogie Wonderland, and they're singing in the back, you know, those women are a singing group called The Emotions, and they would tour with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And Earth, Wind, and Fire was writing their music. So Earth, Wind, and Fire was writing music, you know, trying to produce others while cultivating a new sound, because they went into the disco era.
Yeah, that's right.
Literally had to change their sound because disco
blew up so bad.
Yeah, and rap was creeping up.
Coming around the bend, yeah.
So, you know, for them, they were right in that period. Well, man, we like doing our R&B and our funk, but we got to.
Right. We would also like to continue to make giant bank.
Yeah.
Because there's 10 of us.
Yeah.
And
they talk about that and how they navigated that whole time and place of music and remain relevant. And still, when you say Earth, Wind and Fire, people are going to go wherever they are.
Right. Well, and I just looked it up. 2001, the official story, Earth, Wind and Fire, Shining. It's called Shining Stars, the official Earth, Wind and Earth, Wind and Fire story. And it's from 2001. So everybody was still alive and a lot of the band was still original. And
Maurice White toured, I think, maybe until around that time. And then they did a couple of studio albums. They haven't done many in the 21st century, but he was on, and I mean singing.
Okay, so he sang
until about the mid-2000s, and then he just kind of stayed in the background producing and those type of things.
Right. So would you say if someone was going to, I mean, granted, there's probably a best of Earth, Wind & Fire album out there, right?
Probably about 17 of them.
So they are called...
There's another, you know, they
got called best, and they're just like best of, because it's 50 years.
Better than the last best of.
Right. Because 50 years of performing new music, and they're constantly performing new music. Is that correct?
Well, no, they haven't put out a new
album.
I always struggle to say album because we got like EP, LP, you know, but they haven't put out anything new since I think 2014.
Okay. That's the last sort of new stuff.
But the thing is, their old stuff is ageless, timeless.
Yeah. They don't need to.
When you go to see Earth, Wind & Fire, you're going to, because you want to hear them sing the hits.
Yeah. And you're going to. Well, that is super cool. Sam, I don't know. Is there anything else? We're almost at an hour. So is there anything else want to?
Well, if there's anybody watching that wants to go see Earth, Wind & Fire with me.
Right. Tweet at him, you guys, but don't tweet at him. Instagram message him because he's not.
No, it's just, it was just, you know, when we talked in the green room and
talked
this up and then I looked and I thought, and really it was the next day looking and gathering all these cassettes and I was just like, man, I am a dork about Earth.
Right.
Because ticket stubs. Like, I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Nothing's wrong with you. This is a celebration.
And I thought, you know what? I went from the very top of the third level of Richfield Coliseum to backstage.
Yep. All that's left is for them to go, hey, we need someone to play trumpet on this.
No, here's what's left. And I've said it to them and Ralph gives me grief.
Yeah.
You know what's left for me? I need to either open for you or you need to open for me.
Right. Do they ever have? Sometimes people have.
And Ralph Johnson, he goes, he was told this the first time. And
yeah.
His response was, yeah, but is he funny?
I was like,
I just have to prove that I'm funny.
I don't know if you've ever opened for music, but it is not fun. The audience is not interested at all in seeing stand-up comedy prior to their rock experience.
About an 8-year stretch here locally.
Yeah.
Little venue called Hudson Gardens, and they would bring in groups. It used to be local bands, and then they got a little bit bigger, and they started bringing in these acts from the 60s and 70s, like Herman's Hermits, and then it moved up to Heart, Three Dog Night. They would bring these groups from the 60s and 70s because that area where it was at, you know, you had a lot of people my age range and so
yep. forth.
And I was doing a side gig at a radio station. I had a sports talk radio show. And so the company that, you know, housed all those stations, their talent was asked to MC these concerts and nobody wanted to MC the concert.
Right.
These old groups, Three Dog Night, they might die on this one. You know, I don't want to be on that, you know, but I had just started doing stand up and I was like, man, stage time.
stage time and you're a radio guy. So
yeah. I'm in front of 2,000 people.
Right.
They get like 2,000 people. All I got to do is tell them where the bathrooms are, no smoking allowed, where the food is. And then I still got like 8 minutes. They would give me 10 minutes.
Yep.
I ended up being their house MC for 8 years.
So wow.
I got tired of them. I was just like, okay, y'all know where the bathrooms are. You don't need me.
Right. They don't. And that is, I opened once for Anita Baker.
Yeah.
And they could not have been more confused.
Yeah.
They were just like, this is not, what's happening?
What's she doing up here?
Right. It was
sing a song. Get up. If you don't know,
are you going to sing a song?
Make it sing.
Right. And it's like, and why is this like 25, 30 year old white woman? What is she? She doesn't know Jack. And I was like, hello, you are the finest. I feel like I've been a white man's burden.
You know who she is. She sang that song that one time. Remember that? You know?
Remember her? Yeah. Her
peppermint. You remember that?
I need to sing a song about peppermint now, please. And okay, Sam Adams, you've done vital work. It has been an hour. Thank you so much. It was really fun working with you at the Comedy Works in Denver. And this has been a delight, learning about Earth, Wind, and Fire. Wow. Rangers, here's the scoop. Sam Adams is at samadamsdoescomedy.com, and it's at samadamsdoescomedy everywhere you would want to follow him on Instagram and such. And see him do live stand-up. And thank you so much for doing the show.
Well, I was going to say, maybe I'll come to their town soon, but thank you. I appreciate you having me here in the Dork Forest. And I've been wanting to get that story out about that girl and Huggy Bear. This is therapeutic, girl. Thank you.
First podcast ever. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?